Absolutely. So, in this session, we're going to do some guided self-inquiry. And self-inquiry, again, it would help just to throw out any ideas that you may have about this particular method of realizing what is true. For myself, I had a lot of ideas that I couldn't do it and that it was hard. And that it was only suited to particular people, particular temperament, perhaps. So I'd like to really just show you that it's a very simple process. And like all of the talks and the guided meditation that we've done today, this is just going to be another way to access your real self, to recognize it. I'm just always trying to break down this idea that I see in people that was very present in myself as well, that it's hard to do this. Because we've believed that thought for so long, not many beings have woken up in human history and lived as that. So really we've been living that belief that it's hard and it takes a lot of time. It cannot be so if it's what you already are. You know, how long can it take to recognize clearly what you are? And really, that's just a turning around of momentum in believing what you think more than what is actually real. So we're just going to look at what we actually are. And you can do this self-inquiry with your eyes open or closed. It really doesn't make any difference at all. I just ask you not to drift off into a deep state. If you can, there's nothing wrong with that at all, and you can enjoy that. But it can also be a way that our mind is avoiding hearing and recognizing the simplicity of self-inquiry and its beauty in the way that it can just show you quite quickly. So self-inquiry is literally an inquiry into what yourself is, what is actually yourself. Everyone knows inherently what we think we are, and that can range from thoughts about ourselves as a human being to being a particular person, likes and dislikes, to thoughts about, well, I'm a seeker trying to find the truth, and even thoughts about I am the awareness, I am reality, I am the self, I'm everywhere. Those are still thoughts about ourself and not actually the direct experience of ourself. So we're going to ask this question, what actually am I? Just to really undo the tendency to think about ourselves. And we ask this question openly, what really am I? The first thing that may appear in response to that question is thoughts. So the first thing we're going to say with this inquiry is that no answer that comes is wrong, and no answer that comes is better than any other one. We're just going to open up to all the ways that life is trying to answer that question, what really am I? What if from the very first time that we asked this question, reality was presenting itself to us, but we weren't able to perceive it because we were fixated on one particular type of answer and not able to be open to all the answers yet. So there's two types of answer to that question, what really am I or what actually am I? And the first is answers that are coming and going. So we know our body is coming and going, we know our mind, our thoughts are coming and going, and we know that our emotions are coming and going, our experiences are changing. Our environment is changing. The planet as a whole is changing. So there's these answers that are coming and going to that question, what really am I? And most of us would reference thoughts to answer that question, only thoughts and experiences that come from those thoughts. So we're just going to open up and see if there's any more answers to this question. And most importantly, is not to fixate upon any particular answer. In our self-inquiry, at some point, we're going to experience a deepening of these answers. Mind may say, well, I am reality. Mind may say, I don't know what I am. Mind may also say, you're not doing this right. May say, self-inquiry is a bit complicated for me. I'm just going to opt out of this section. Just noticing all these answers that come. Anything at all that happens in your experience is an answer to this question. Just noticing the things you wouldn't normally call an answer. Just now as I'm talking, a car has driven past. That's the kind of answer as well, a sound arising in my environment. And if you have an itch on your foot, that's another answer to this question, what really am I? Right now you're appearing as a car and an itch, and you're appearing as all of this. So just noticing our tendency to only think of answers that a certain type of phenomena are answers, thoughts, emotions, and experiences. What happens if we disregard that and take everything that happens as an answer? So if I get a stomachache, or if a deep state of peace comes, that's just another answer. We're just really inquiring gently with this question, what really am I, actually? Is there more to me than I've seen? Is there more to me than I've experienced? Noticing answers are coming and going all the time. Right now, there's a ringing in my ear. It's just another answer. A high-pitched whine. There's a sense of energy moving, perhaps. That's another answer. There's things going on outside, in the street outside my house. Another answer. Anything that moves in your environment. Another answer. Just recognizing we've had perhaps a small, confined understanding of how life is going to answer this question, that maybe we've been expecting to get an answer here with a full conviction of knowingness. Maybe that's the answer we're valuing more than anything else. But yet at this moment, you are arising as all of these phenomena. You are this body, your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, everything that's appearing in the place that you're sitting. Everything that you're hearing, experiencing, any smells, everything that can happen is an answer to this question. And of course, as we're just allowing this question, what really am I, actually? Then different type of answers are going to start to happen. Just the openness to allow all of the answers is going to lead to a seeming change in the quality of answers. As if just by staying open with the question, you're diving deeper into your experience of this moment right now. Perhaps our insistence that answers to that question should come a particular way. That, you know, if my cat happened to walk across the room now, that's somehow less of an answer than an epiphany or a revelation, that's not valued as much. And it's just random or shouldn't be happening. So noticing our tendency to categorize answers as wanted or not wanted, to think that some things aren't even answers at all. And yet everything that happens in response to this question, everything that happens after the question is asked, can be taken as an answer. So our self-definition begins to change even then. I am this sound that's happening. I am this disturbance. I am this high-pitched whine. I am this itch. I am this thought. I am this sense of confusion that's arising. I am this disturbance and this restlessness that's happening in my body. I am my body too. I am everything in my experience I can see. So as we're staying open, not labeling any answer at all as good or bad, as the right answer or the wrong answer, and beginning to entertain the possibility that there might be endless answers to this question, Maybe your whole life has been the answer to this question. What really am I? And you've been watching all the ways that you can appear, all these experiences, all of these thoughts, all these other beings, all of these environments. That maybe none of it was wrong. It was just a continuous unfolding of answers to this question. Perhaps your life was the answer to the question, what is it like to be a limited and finite being? And now the answers are going to start to change to what am I actually? What am I really? So any states that come and go in the body, any state of mind, any confusion, any clarity, any epiphanies, all of these are just answers. And there's no right answer. There's no answer to this question, what really am I? That's going to allow you to say, now I've got it. That's it now. I'm there. I've arrived. This never-ending parade of phenomenal answers, thoughts and feelings, different shapes that you're taking, will continue indefinitely. And even when this particular body expires, you'll still be looking through other bodies, you'll still be looking through other eyes, continuously experiencing. And of course, there is one other type of answer. There is those answers that are changing and coming and going. And there are those answers that are not changing and not coming and going. So at some point in your inquiry with this question, there'll be this recognition that there's also a type of answer that is constant, just one. That there is a silence or a sense of presence and awareness, stillness, formlessness, all ways of describing the same thing, in which all of these phenomenal answers are coming and going to that question. So which are you really in actuality? Are you the formless space in which all of these things are coming and going? Or are you all of these things that are coming and going? And what if you didn't have to decide which was the right one of those two? What if you didn't choose which is the right one? What if you didn't try to define the right answer? What if you didn't say the formless space of my being is the right answer and my body and mind and ego are the wrong answer? What if you didn't even know that much? Did the formlessness, when it presents itself, the space of your being, the quietness, the listening that we were listening to earlier on, what if that is just another way that you can appear? Isn't better than or worse than any other way. It's just the only constant answer when we look into it. It's the answer that's not going to leave. It's the only answer that's still here when the body has disappeared. And with the body disappearance goes all these thoughts, all these emotions, all these experiences, all my ability to perceive through my senses, at least in this body. I'd like for today, for this session, just to not even say that that's the right answer. That I found the right answer. Naturally, when you don't say that, there's an awareness of this moment, this awareness, this nowness, this here-ness that you really are. And also all the ways that you're appearing inside. So can you ever really answer this question with any certainty? Can you really ever find out exactly what you are? Can you say, I know what this formlessness is? It's a formless mystery. And yet it's appearing as all of these thoughts, emotions, experiences, and things happening inside it. That is what you are. How is this all going to look in the next moment? We've got no idea of the continuous unfolding of this moment. It'll look however it looks, but it's not different than the formlessness. Anything appearing inside this moment is dependent upon this moment. So this moment can appear as this formless moment, or it can take a shape seemingly and be something happening inside this moment, like a body, or a thought, or an emotion. Who's to say which is better, which way they would appear? Is it better for the timelessness to show up as time? Is it better for the formlessness to show up as form? Or are they just different ways? One is permanent, one is not. One is going to disappear, one is never appeared and therefore can never disappear. So hopefully you're seeing that your self-inquiry can be a never-ending unfolding of answers that you never reach the end of. But that doesn't mean you're not there yet. Perhaps you're going to just find yourself accidentally being the space in which all these answers are arising. Perhaps you're just going to slide accidentally into allowing all these answers to arise and realize you're not taking any shape around any concept. Perhaps you're just going to find that somehow you've fallen more in love with the never-ending answers than with getting the right answer to this question. Maybe that's what all the awakened beings have done in the past. They've just fallen in love with the mystery, with not needing to know, not needing to find out. So as you're asking this question, it really can become an orientation for your entire existence, that your life will become the answer to this question, and perhaps it always has been. What am I really? I spent enough years contemplating the question, what do I think I am? What do I seem to be? And now I'm going to contemplate this question unendingly. What am I really? I've had enough experiences of my assumptions of what I am. And now I'd like to experience what I really am. So just hopefully you're seeing another way altogether of self-inquiry. Not something that we're going to do, get to the end of, get the answer, and then check, done that. But the beautiful expansion of asking this question and knowing that you can never find the right answer. You can find the permanent answer, and only mind would judge that as better. You can find phenomena arising in you, and only mind would judge those as worse, not supposed to be. This moment itself is not judging anything. It's not even judging the judging. So can you exist paradoxically and yet beautifully complementary as this formless space in which all this is appearing and all this appearing too? Does there have to be any particular shape that all this looks like for you to reach your correct shape, your correct self-definition? Do you need any particular answer to this question? What am I really? Or is that just a thought arising? There is a right answer, and I'll find it at some point. So recognizing, hopefully, a different way of going about your awakening, a different way of going about your inquiry, your meditation, your contemplation, different way of being and seeing. That for the rest of your existence in your particular body, you'll be noticing this ever unfolding, blossoming of your life as the answer to this question. When I contemplate the question, what is it like to think about myself? I'll experience those thoughts. I'll experience being limited. I'll experience being finite. It'll seem like I'm born and I'm going to die. And it'll seem like time is passing and I'm changing. And then when I contemplate, what am I really, actually? It can be a whole different experience of reality. A constant, never-ending experience of reality. So we're just moving from defining ourselves based on what we think, experiencing ourselves based on what we think and assume to be true, to a never-ending unfoldingness of this question. And perhaps the greatest piece of all is to recognize that no answer is ever going to be the end of it. There's never going to be, I'm never going to have a thought or an epiphany that's going to be the actual end of it. Many times you have a revelation of something that you are, a realization, and it will seem final, total, complete. It will seem absolute. I've seen it now. Can't possibly ever get better than this. And the very next moment, there could be something even more amazing. There could be something even more expansive. Self-inquiry is more about the inquiry rather than any particular answer. And as such, it's a very simple thing. I ask the question, life will answer immediately, even before the question. And then I ask the question, and it's happening inside the answer, the great beingness, the vastness of my being. So hopefully you're experiencing a different way to self-inquire, one which we've let go of any sense of reaching anywhere. Life can be this endless exploration of all the phenomenal ways that you will appear and disappear. And that inside those phenomenal ways is really you, the formlessness, appearing as all of this. And amazingly, contrary to what mind says, there can be utter peace from never finding the answer, the right answer. It's totally contradictory to what we're taught as human beings. Then I find the right answer to this question, I'll be happy. But maybe the question itself is enough to be happy. And then not particularly forming a shape around any answer anyway that appears.